So I want to introduce our first speaker, but before I do, I want to make note, hopefully everybody here is on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. We're actually live streaming this conference right now from the, we are in 2019, from the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression Facebook page. So everybody take out your phone, share it. You know, this is a national conference. We want to make sure folks know what's going on right now. All right, so our first speaker. So who here heard about the teachers who went on strike? It is my honor to introduce our first speaker, the Vice President of the Chicago Teachers Union. Make some noise. That's awesome. Good evening. I would like to welcome you to the Jacqueline Vaughn Hall and the house that Karen Lewis built. And I would like to welcome you to Chicago, in a place where coalition building, movement building seems to be on the forefront of our city. Thank you for being here. You know, every time I get up in front of a group of people who are fighting for justice, who are fighting for equity, I kind of get a little nervous and I lose my words because I just think it's so important to make sure that the people who attend events like this, the people who are organizing, who are clear about justice and equity, that they always leave a place feeling better about why they have committed to fighting for justice, fighting for equity. And so I think that's a big deal. There is so much in our world, in our country, in the cities, in the states that we reside that, you know, seek to take our breath away, to demoralize us, to make us think that this fight, that this movement that we are building isn't worth it. And so it's most important that the people who are on the forefront, who are on the front lines, know that their work is not in vain, that you know that justice is not some theory that we find in books or in think pieces, but that justice is something that comes with our humanity. And so as I just heard, that our Black identity is extreme, it's not extreme. It is our birthright. What is extreme is white supremacy. So listen, our fights are the same. You know, our fight at the Chicago Teachers Union has manifested in a fight for educational justice. But the injustice is a part of our society because white supremacy says that the Black children and the brown children and the poor children who populate the Chicago public schools do not deserve the bare minimum. And so something that the leadership of this union did in 2010 was prioritize the humanity of the students that are before us on a daily basis and said that they deserve more. And then they organized for more internally, and then they pushed back in a city that was okay with giving less to those children. And then we changed our constitution at the Chicago Teachers Union to reflect this movement, right? That after us, the legacy of this union, the charge of this union will be to always fight for the justice and the humanity of the children who are in our classrooms. So what I want us to do here today and this entire tonight and this weekend is to love on each other a little bit, because we understand the struggle. What I want us to do with each other this weekend is to be a little curious with each other, because these are safe spaces. What I want us to do is to reaffirm our commitment to this fight, to reaffirm our commitment to each other and to community building. Because if we can't build community with one another, if we can't love on each other and support each other, then our movement is in vain. So take some time, give out some hugs, shake some hands, lift somebody's spirit a little bit, give them the gas that they need to continue to confront a world where it's okay for Donald Trump to put our children in cages, a world where it's okay to close schools down on children who need them, a world where it's okay to kill children, but because you have a badge, it's all right. A world where it's okay to continue to stuff children into classrooms and offer them nothing except for less. We need each other. We need our understanding. We need our love. We need our grace. We need that humility. Movement building is tough work. It is hard work. So take this weekend and find your friend, find your heart, and treat each other like family. Welcome to the Chicago Teachers Union, a house built by Black women who believed in the humanity of Black, brown, and poor children. Thank you so much.
Give her a round of applause. Our next speaker, he was one of the founding members of the Brown Berets. He's an active organizer in Los Angeles, organizing in the Chicano community with the Community Service Organization. So everybody give a round of applause to Mr. Carlos Montes.
El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. That's people united will never be defeated. You all, come on, let's hear it. It's awesome to be here with all you, feeling the energy, the solidarity. I was in L.A., California last week. Believe it or not, it was 90 degrees. But I feel the warmth and the heat today, so let me get into it. I want to express all my greetings to all of you here, but especially the families who have lost their loved ones to victims of police killings, in which we have that in L.A. also. In L.A., the LAPD, the L.A. Sheriff's Department, continue to kill Black and brown folks daily, and over 500 in the last several years. But we're fighting back. That's right. We're fighting back. We're demanding justice. We're demanding jail killer cops, community control of the police. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, my family is originally from Mexico. I grew up in the border town of El Paso and Juarez, and we're a white supremacist, inspired by the words of Trump, came to El Paso, my old hometown, and killed, you know, our community, massacred our community. We have to unite to demand an end to racist killings, right? Police killings and racist killings. Now, you know, a little bit, I got involved in the civil rights movement, like many of you all. Many of you may be children of the civil rights movement. And got involved in the Chicano Liberation Movement. And like many of us older comrades, and many of you know folks, we got beaten, we got arrested, we got shot at, many of us were killed. I was forced to go underground, and I was rearrested years later. But due to people like yourself, due to a grassroots campaign demanding freedom for all political prisoners, I'm able to speak here with you today. Yeah. So we have to demand freedom for all political prisoners in the United States. Yeah. Now, as the brother mentioned, I continue my activism today in the barrio of East L.A. in Bull Heights, working with families who have been victims of police killings, against wars, and promoting public education. Also, we were on strike in supporting UTLA. Let's hear for UTLA, CTU. And of course, we fight for immigrant rights and against the Trump attacks, like the deportations and incarcerations of Trump. We got to make sure we dump Trump, right? Now, one of the important things that I learned is to be in solidarity with oppressed nations throughout the world, which causes mass migration, poverty, and misery, whether it's Mexico, Africa, Asia, Latin America, right? And due to my involvement in that solidarity and also protesting at the Republican conventions and being vocal at denouncing the warmongers, the FBI raided my house a few years ago, arrested me on trumped-up charges. But again, the people like yourself demanding that my freedom, I'm able to be here with you today. So, and I want to thank the organizations that are involved in that, the Stop FBI Repression Committee and labor organizations. And it is with that spirit of solidarity and fight against racist attacks, police killings, and state repression, that I unite and support the refounding of the National Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression. Thank you very much. Let's hear it.
So up next, I would like to invite up Monique Sampson. Monique Sampson is an activist with SDS at University of North Florida, Jacksonville.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Let's start off with a chant. So when I say people, you say power. People?
Power.
People?
Power.
When I say worker, you say power. Worker?
Power.
Worker?
Power.
Awesome, awesome. Like Jasmine said, my name is Monique Sampson, and I'm with Students for a Democratic Society, which is an on... Woo! Which is an on-campus activist group that has been leading the charge for student activism here in the United States. Over the last couple of years, SDS has been a militant force on campus for student organizing. From anti-war protests, to expelling Nazis, to standing with victims of campus police brutality, we've been on the front lines demanding justice. By sitting in our president's offices, to marching across campus, to rallying with hundreds of students and community members for justice. We've come from Tampa, Tallahassee, Wisconsin, Jacksonville, Utah, Minnesota, and many other cities in order to be here for this historic event. So we are here to stand with community members and help with the fight for justice for all. We are here as students to call for the refounding of the National Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression. We are here to be part of history. So... The last few years, SDS has won so many victories and learned so many lessons. Let's go over some of them. So Jacksonville SDS rallied after a self-proclaimed Nazi threatened black students and community members. These white supremacists had the nerve to say that they were going to come to our campus, our domain, to rally. So we clapped back, and we got organized, and we organized a rally where we had hundreds and they had four.
Yeah, there's power in the people.
So not only did we do that, but our campaign resulted in an increase in black enrollment, an increase in scholarships for black students, and that Nazi being expelled and banned from our school because there's power in the people. Come on, somebody. Not only that, but Tampa SDS rallied to demand protections for LGBTQ workers because no LGBTQ person should have to live in a world where they're persecuted for being who they are because that ain't right, okay? Denver SDS took the fight straight to the enemy and confronted an ICE warden at his home to let him know that SDS demands that they close down those concentration camps. Let's call it what it is, concentration camps. SDSers in Texas rallied and marched to defend DACA so that undocumented students have the same rights that all students have, and they marched and let the administration know that if you come for one of us, you come for all of us, and we will stand together and fight. Students in Chicago marched against Trump when he wanted to have a rally here, of all places. They marched with thousands and shut Trump down because there's power in the people. Come on, somebody. So as we begin to contextualize our place in history, and as we do this, we realize that we must stand together in order to further the struggle for liberation for all. We have to stand hand in hand as we continue to make blows to a system that thinks that killing our people is okay. We have to stand hand in hand against a system that tells our youth that their lives don't matter. Not only do we have a duty to ourselves and the people that came before us, but the people that will come after us. We cannot give up at all. So here we are at the Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression with the privilege of being here with revolutionaries and people that have been leading the struggle for decades. This is a privilege to be here, and we thank you so much. But us being here this weekend is important because it shows this country, the belly of the beast, white supremacist America, that we will not give up and that we will stand hand in hand and continue to struggle so that we can achieve freedom and liberation in our lifetime. So when I say people, you say power. People.
Power.
People.
Power.
Thank you.
Hey, give her one more round of applause. That's my baby. Hey, when I say people, you say power, people. People. When I say people, you say power, people. People. Awesome, awesome. That was an awesome speech. I just want folks to know that we're here for this epic occasion. We have over 28 states represented here tonight. Give yourself a round of applause. I know if I mention one, I have to mention all, so I'm going to quickly go through it. Anybody from Alabama in the house? Alabama represent? Birmingham? Where they going to be here tomorrow? All right, shout out to Alabama. Hey, California. California in the house. All right. Colorado. Connecticut. We got Florida in the house. Florida, say something. That's my state. Florida represent. We got Georgia in the house. Of course, we got Indiana in the house. Indiana. Hey, Indiana, what's up? Indiana, we got Iowa in the house. Iowa. Kentucky, we got Kentucky in the house. Hey, what's up, Kentucky? Hey. I like it. Get that energy up. Awesome. We got Maryland in the house. Maryland, where you at? Maryland, I love you, Maryland. Massachusetts in the house. We got Massachusetts. We got Michigan in the house. We, of course, got Minnesota in the house. Minnesota, what's up? Wow, Minnesota rode deep. It's cold up there, but they rode deep. Missouri, the show me state. Where y'all at? Missouri in the house. Hey, Missouri. We got New Jersey in the house. We got New York in the house. We got Ohio in the house. Pennsylvania, we got Oregon in the house. We got Rhode Island in the house, Tennessee. Hey, Texas, make some noise. We got Texas in the house. Yeah, that's the state right there, Texas. We got Utah in the house. Yeah, we got Washington in the house. Washington. Yeah, okay. We got another state that isn't considered a state yet, but it is. We got D.C. in the house. D.C. represent. All right, we got Wisconsin in the house. Oh, last but not least, we got Illinois in the house. Illinois, Chicago, make some noise. Awesome. So our next speaker, representing Bayon USA. This person's an awesome activist, been in the movement for a long time and fighting for liberation and justice for the Philippines. So everybody give Bernadette Lorian a round of applause.
Ang tao, ang bayan! Ang tao, ang bayan! Ngayon ay lumalaban! Congratulations to the people of Chicago and all the freedom fighters in this room right now for the refounding of this important organization. We from the Philippines struggle for national liberation against imperialism. Stand with the people of Chicago, the black and brown people of the United States and all over the world who are suffering under fascism. The struggle against fascism is a worldwide struggle. It makes sense that we are here with you because in the Philippines, fascism has presented an opportunity. Fascism is a sign of decay, is a sign of desperation of the ruling class. No, we learned that from our dear friend, Vladimir. No, he's in this room. Vladimir's in this room. No. He's everyone's friend. He's not just my friend. He's all of our friends. What else did Vladimir say? Vladimir said a nation can never be free if it oppresses other nations. So those of us here who are from the national liberation struggles of Puerto Rico, for Palestine, for the Philippines, the Kurdish struggle, those of us who are fighting, waging revolutions overseas for our national liberation, stand here. It makes sense that we are together. It makes sense that we recognize this is a global, international, worldwide struggle. And we are one global class. We are one global class because fascism is a war of the rich against the poor. In a capitalist society, it's a war on the poor, and that is universal. For as long as the system is in place, we are all slaves. We are all slaves. Vladimir also said, when we aspire for freedom, it's not for the freedom of the slave owners. We want freedom for the slaves. And that's all of us. Those of us who are incarcerated, those of us who are attacked on a daily basis by the police, those of us who are living in neo-colonies. you know, whose lands have been plundered by U.S. imperialism. It is an anti-imperialist struggle, brothers and sisters. So I'm going to teach you all a chant, because we are all internationalists in this room. It is in Tagalog, and you only have to learn one word, and that just means down, or ibagsak means meaning to crush, to break, no? So say ibagsak. So that means to bring it down or to topple down. So I'm going to say imperialismo. That means imperialism, no? Imperialismo! Imperialismo! Feudalismo! Feudalism, because this is also a war, not only on the poor, but a war on the landless. Those of us who are whose lands have been stolen, those of us who are without land, without housing, no, without property. Feudalismo! Burokrata kapitalismo! Burokrata kapitalismo! Bureaucrat capitalism. Because this is a war of the rich who are using the government to get even richer. Yeah. Burokrata kapitalismo! Fascismo ng Estado! State fascism. And you say babaksak. Babaksak. Sorry, I should have said that earlier. We're internationalists. This is our language, no? Pasismo ng Estado! Pasismo ng Estado! Maraming salamat. Thank you very much.
So our next speaker, unfortunately, couldn't be here with us, but she is a fighter. She is a liberation fighter. She organized here in Chicago, created a AAA Women's Committee. Just a few years ago, as some of y'all know, y'all rallied with her in fighting for justice for Asmea in a politically charged, trumped-up case against her, in which the people in this room, people who fought, who fight for Palestinian liberation, fought for Asmea as well, and we end up putting the criminal government of Israel on trial instead of Asmea being on trial. So what we do is, Razmea was, you know, an amazing person who ended up leaving us a video address. So we're going to start that now.
Make some noise. How y'all doing out there? So my fellow co-MC, Michael Sampson, broke down a list of folks who are here from different states. But me living in Chicago, I know that there are some folks here from different sides of the city, right? So who is here from the South Side? Make some noise. That's right. I see you, Soul. I see you. Who's here from the West Side? The best side. Woo! Who's here? Who's here from the North Side? Make some noise. I will be a North Sider in like a week, so I'm looking forward to meeting all of you guys. All right, so up next, I would like to invite up Armanda Shackelford, whose son, Gerald Reed, has been unjustly incarcerated for over 28 years for a crime he did not commit. And Armanda is going to tell us more about it. Armanda is a fighter. Make some noise and welcome her to the stage.
Yes! We are here. And we are here to have some fun. We are going to enjoy ourselves because the Alliance is the greatest organization that I know. They have done a tremendous job for Gerald Reed. They're fighting every day to free my son. And you know what? It's not just Gerald Reed. Because Gerald Reed is not there by himself. He has made a lot of friends, and he has gotten a family while he's there. And whenever I get the chance to say something, I let everybody know that I'm not just talking for Gerald Reed. I'm talking for the men who don't have a family anymore. Some of them's family have died. One young man I met and talked, well, I haven't met him, but I've talked to him. His mother has had Alzheimer's, and she came to visit him, and she didn't even know who he was. That hurt to know that my child has been kidnapped from me, taken away from me, and don't know, I don't know who he is. That's a problem for me, and I don't like that. I always feel if a man, a woman, say they didn't do the crime, don't make up stuff on them. Don't use other people to say he did it. I got proof that he did it. But you don't have no evidence. And in my son's case, they didn't have no evidence. None. And they tortured him into signing the confession that they typed up. That was cruel. And he's still in jail. He's still locked up in prison. His conviction was overturned. And you know how long that's been? Almost a year. Be a year next month. On the 21st of December, Judge Gaynor overturned his conviction. And the conviction was the statement that they tortured him into signing. That's the only thing they had against him. But you know what? He's still locked up. They won't even give him a bond for him to be free. But they offered him deals. But now I have a problem with that. If you say I did it and you got evidence to prove it, why are you offering me deals? I don't get that. If I did it, you shouldn't offer me a deal. You should want me to stay in prison. Because according to you, I did the crime without any evidence whatsoever. Now the judge, it's a new judge because the judge that overturned his conviction retired on the 31st of December. So the new judge has had his case since January. And he's been saying August, September, October, 3 months. Each month he said, I'm going to give my final decision. And then when we come back, he have another lie. He says, I don't have all the paperwork. Or the last time, before this last date, he said that he was going to subpoena Dorothy Brown because he didn't have the records from 1993. So when we went last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, he said he got one box of the papers. But according to one of my son's lawyers, he said whenever they would go back into the judge's chamber, it was more than one box. It was at least four. So, you know, it hurts to see how the system is today. And it's no justice at all, whoever said that. It's no justice. And we have a chant that we usually say, no justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. When do we need some done? We need it now. And you know what? I wish we had CPAC. Whew. I wish we had CPAC. Because when my son was arrested in 1990, if we had CPAC, my son wouldn't be in jail. My son would not be in prison. But things need to change. They need to stop walking around with blindfolders on and ear stoppers in their ears. Like, these things did not happen. It happened. And it's still going on. It's not as much as it was back in the day, but it's still going on. And I blame the higher ups, like the mayor, the chief of police. I blame them, because if you don't stop me from doing what I'm doing, you saying I'm giving you my permission. You can do whatever you want to do. If you see that young man, you think he did it, say he was coming at you. Shoot him down. That's not right. It's not right. And some changes need to be made. People get up and talk about what they are going to do in order to be a mayor. I'm going to make changes. Make them. Make them. Stop saying it. Make them. And you know what? It makes me angry to see the president and the governors of our cities and states and the mayors and the aldermen and whoever. If you're not fighting to get these men out of prison, and like I say, I'm not talking about just Gerald Reed. Gerald Reed is not alone. I want them all. And you know what? I got faith, and I believe in God. And I know God is going to set them men free. And you know what? When it gets started, they're going to sit back. Dang, all of them guys coming out of there. Because they shouldn't have never been locked up. That's wrong. If it was your family, how would you take it? You wouldn't like it. But they don't care, because it's not theirs. So put yourself in our shoes and see what we are going through, because it's not nice. The things that we have to cherish and look at every day, talk to our family every day or every other day. And when they go to court on Tuesday, Gerald called me and said, Mama, they brought me the papers for me to sign for my bond. And the young lady told me that she had two more that she had to take papers to, because they was getting out on Wednesday. So my son go to court Wednesday, right? And he done already signed the papers. And he think, oh, maybe I'll come home. Surprise, surprise. You are back in Cook County Jail. And, you know, I'm gonna try to stop. It's some families that are here. We need to show recognition to these families. And if I don't pronounce your name properly, hold it to my head, not to my heart. I think it's Isaac Auden. Harriet, Snoop, Augustus, Dakota Bright, Paul Castaway, David Lenolin, I think it is. Lincoln, I'm sorry. Jamar Clark, Flint Former, Cordell Handy, Ronnie Man Johnson. Betty Jones. Danny Jones, if I'm not mistaken. Antonio LeGuerre. Pierre Lorre. Bryant Quinones. Thank you. Okay. Justin Tegan. Okay. Vernayo Bing, I commend you families. Hang in there just a little bit longer because your day is coming. Okay? Take my word for it. It's coming. Thank you all so much.
Make some noise one more time for Mr. Armando Shakafor. We need to do everything that we can to free not only Gerald Reed, but every single torture survivor that's behind bars. Free every single one of them. And we need to do our part to launch defense campaigns whenever us, activists, organizers, movement folk, are targeted by the FBI or the CIA. We need to be there and say, no, people have the right to organize, am I right?
Yes.
People have the right to fight for their freedom, am I right?
Yes.
So up next, I have the honor of inviting up, speaking of political prisoners, a Puerto Rican political prisoner by the name of Edwin Cortez. Make some noise, everyone.
Viva Puerto Rico Libre. Free Puerto Rico now. I'm a Puerto Rican, born and raised in the south side of Chicago. All my life I've been involved in the community struggles for Black, Puerto Rican, Mexican, and Hispanic people on the south side of Chicago. I was at the University of Illinois, and we were actively involved in the University of Illinois with all our Latin American brothers. I was also involved with the Palestinian people's struggle. I was involved with the Eritreans who are fighting for independence against the Ethiopian government. And we were involved with the Iranian students who are fighting the fascist Shah in Iran and against the Savak secret police. I was arrested in 1983 and charged with seditious conspiracy, conspiring to overthrow the United States government. Ironically, Puerto Ricans have been the only people who have been accused of seditious conspiracy from 1930 to the time I got arrested in 1983. Puerto Ricans were the only ones charged with seditious conspiracy. And all of us, Albizu Campos in 1930, and the five nationalists in 1954, Oscar Collazo in 1950, and then a group of us in 1980, 81, and 83. And you can check out the statute on seditious conspiracy. It says conspiring to overthrow the lawful authority of the United States government in Puerto Rico. And our defense was that that authority is illegal, criminal, and colonial. And in Chicago, if you happen to take a tour of Chicago, you'll see the stark differences here in Chicago that we are living. You go to the south side of Chicago and see what we're living in the south side of Chicago and compare that to what we're living now in Humboldt Park, gentrification. We were in Broadway. We lived in Broadway. The first Puerto Ricans moved to Broadway. Now you won't find any. That's been totally gentrified. Puerto Ricans moved to the area of Lakeview, where the Cubs Park, and that was gentrified. Now we're moved to Humboldt Park, and Humboldt Park is being gentrified. So it would be a good experience for all of you to come and visit our communities and see the stark differences. In 1979, we had a conference in New York, and we were trying to establish a national database on police brutality. And that database, I don't know if it ever was done and what happened to it, but I think it's important to create a database and make known all the cases of police brutality all over the United States. And there were brutal killings of Mexicans in the Southwest that we had documented, Puerto Ricans in Humboldt Park. We had a riot in Humboldt Park. We had a riot in the south side of Chicago for a killing of a Puerto Rican by the racist Chicago police. So I applaud all of your efforts. We hope that you will continue supporting us. Puerto Rico was devastated by Hurricane Maria in 2017, and we are rebuilding. The Puerto Rican people have risen up on July 25th, which is the 122nd anniversary of our colonization. The people of Puerto Rico came out to the streets, and we ousted three governors. We had three governors in 6 days. Power is in the people, and we have to be creative and build models of resistance. And I wish you all success. Free Puerto Rico now. Thank you.
So our next speaker will be reading a statement from Native Lives Matter, Minneapolis. Everyone give Lyndon Galboy, give Lyndon a round of applause.
Hey everyone, I'm going to be reading a statement that was sent by the Gay Black Elk Antonia of Native Lives Matter. They were unable to be here tonight. So it's in the first person, so imagine that I am Gay Black Elk. So we thank the Alliance for inviting us to the national refounding. We are sorry to say we cannot make the trip, but we do stand in solidarity from our Justice for Paul Castaway family. Just as the American Indian Movement did in 1973 at the original founding of the Alliance. The National Alliance, United AIM, and other national liberation movements at a time when the people's movements were under attack. Again, we prepare to carry on the fight to free them all. And Gabe says we have to chant three times, free them all, free them all, free them all, free them all. There are many warriors like Leonard Peltier and my cousin Red Fawn, and my relatives from AIM in Colorado, imprisoned after the uprisings, for example, at Wounded Knee, at Standing Rock, and those are just a few. We also understand the importance of unifying families, activists, and all nations to bring an end to police brutality in our communities. As one of the organizers of Native Lives Matter and a state rep for Families United for Justice, we hold our fist up high in solidarity. For we have nothing to lose but our chains. All right. And we're going to close with a chant. Three times. Indict, convict, send those killer cops to jail. The whole damn system is guilty as hell. Indict, convict, send those killer cops to jail. The whole damn system is guilty as hell. Indict, convict, send those killer cops to jail. The whole damn system is guilty as hell. All right, thank you.
Our next speaker, representing USPCN in Chicago, they do great work in the community. Let's everybody give a round of applause for Nezek Sankari.
I am Nazik Sankari, a member of the Chicago chapter of the U.S. Palestinian Community Network. I am honored to be here tonight with everyone as we gather to celebrate the refounding of the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. That's right. The epitome of Black and Palestinian solidarity is embodied in the relationship between the Alliance and our chapter of USPCN. The Alliance was our most dedicated ally and partner during the Rasmiya Defense Committee work. Members of the Alliance consistently attend and have spoken at every Palestinian support rally and Palestinian political prisoner solidarity event. They have joined us at each and every protest of congressional representatives who support Israeli crimes against Palestinian people. The Alliance shows its consistent solidarity by supporting our own demands for liberation, which include the end to Zionist Israeli occupation and colonization for all Palestinian and Arab lands, the right of return for all Palestinian refugees and their descendants, and self-determination and liberation for the Palestinian people. We proudly stood side by side with the Alliance and other Black liberation forces to protest and demand that killer cop Jason Van Dyke be convicted of murdering Laquan McDonald. That's right. And we stand together to demand justice for all the Black and Latinx folks who have been killed or are survivors of torture at the hands of the vicious Chicago police. We all know that the Alliance is the main police accountability force in Chicago. It is at the forefront of the necessary and critical work of demanding the democratic community control of the police of our city, because we will not stand idly by as CPD terrorizes our communities. The Civilian Police Accountability Council has already set the stage for 5 other cities across the U.S. that are demanding community control of the police. When this law passes, and I do mean when, not if, it will be a revolutionary moment in this country's history. We pledge our unequivocal support for CPAC and for the refounding of the National Alliance. We know and believe that Black liberation in the U.S. will lead to liberation for all. Thank you.
So up next, I would like to invite up a brother from the New Jericho Movement. Y'all know about the New Jericho Movement? All right. Masai Ehehozi. Make some noise for Masai.
Assalamu alaikum. In revolutionary greetings, I pray to the Lord, guards my heart and guards my tongue in all I'm about to say. I should point out, we was wondering when we saw the New Jericho Movement what that is. I'm actually with the Jericho National Jericho Movement for recognition and amnesty for and release for political prisoners and POWs held within the confines of the U.S. And I should also say, while I'm here, I am first of all a Muslim, and I'm among those Muslims who believe that it's our obligation to fight against oppression, all forms of oppression. I'm a former Black Liberation Army prisoner of war captured in 1975, and along with my co-defendant, we declared that we were citizens of the Republic of New Africa and that we were subject to the Geneva Convention and U.S. government had no jurisdiction of us. I'm a long-time involvement in the New African Independence Movement. That's a movement that seeks independence and land for the Republic of New Africa, a socialist Republic of New Africa. And I'm in a workshop tomorrow, and I hope y'all can come because I'm trying to keep within the confines of this session right now. I should say, along with us speaking about prisoners of war and political prisoners in general, someone pointed out that I really need to speak about, and I agree, the condition of Muslims who inside the U.S. prisons. those who are in general and also those who are political prisoners and prisoners of war. I think while some folks here touched on some things, I don't think you know just how deep the situation is or how bad the repression are. There's units throughout the United States, there's control units, special management units, and Muslims have been in there, well, particularly since September 11th. But even before that, there's Muslims who have been in them units. And when I say Muslims, I think sometimes folks have a tendency, they think about Arabs, they think about everyone else, but not the fact that, okay, that's thank you, not the fact that there's bodies of Muslims here who follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. We're real Muslims and we do exist. Again, we hope to get into that tomorrow. And while I am primarily here at Jericho, I shall also say that I am among those who consider themselves to be abolitionists for the abolishment of the prison industrial complex. And I know Angela's going to speak first. Angela's going to be speaking tonight. When Angela and them raised it and did what they did in 1998, several of us on the East Coast asked what could we do to follow it up. They actually sent some people out there to the East Coast, and that's after we did our national conference, after we did our East Coast conference, we decided that we really needed to get that thing tight and develop a national organization to work for the abolishment of the PIC. And I think I need to say that, and I will say some more later, because a lot of times folks have a hard time understanding what abolishment actually means. We ain't talking about reforming it or nothing like that. The complete and total abolishment of the prison industrial complex. Something else, and I will be touching on tomorrow, I'm also part of what's called the National Community, or Al Ummah. It was led by Imam Jamil Amin. Some of y'all might, if you're old enough, you remember him as H-Rap Brown. He's currently in federal custody, and we're working to get him out. More closer to home, I'm actually part of a body called Masjid Al-Kaaba, which is actually based in Chicago. My imam is actually, well, you might know him as Jeff Ford. He's been sitting in Florence, Colorado for so many years, it ain't funny, so he's one of the ones I have to work on, and I will particularly talk about him, a brother named Maameen Kabbal, who actually represents some of the worst treatment you can get. And while we were talking about the different charges that people have, Maameen actually is one of the ones they have charged supposedly for wanting to commit terrorist acts for Libya, which, again, is another story I can get into tomorrow. And I have to acknowledge also that a lot of these positions came from working with the American Friends Service Committee Criminal Justice Program. I was there for about 10 years in a project called Prison Watch, which monitored the abuse and torture within U.S. prisons and jail, which is where a lot of the experiences that we have dealing with control units come from in the United States. And because I am down to 30 minutes, I will get off here, but I will tell y'all, please come to the workshop tomorrow if you can. And also, we have some material out front on the Jericho table, both with the Jericho movement and also with critical resistance. As-salamu alaykum, free the land.
So, y'all ready for some culture or what? So, I would like to invite up Tari Hurd. Tari is going to be performing. Make some noise.
First, I would just like to start off with the organization of Black students at the University of Chicago stands in support and full solidarity with the demands and action of the international liberation of all oppressed minority groups, domestic and abroad. But I just want to note that all of us that belong in this room, that belong here with us, are not physically present with us. So let's just honor them in a moment, their spirits. There are dead subjects that are never supposed to be brought up. There are uncomfortable conversations that are never supposed to be had. Topics buried like bodies, swept under the rug like court cases, hung up like bodies. Dead subjects that lead to dead people. People seen as subjects. Classrooms crafted, markers, no. Targets marked, classrooms, no projects. Actually, yes, projects, the projects. Dead subjects subjected to dead homes, dead schools, and dead communities. People presumed dead before their pulses were checked. But since the EMT don't want a hashtag let us breathe, then we call BYP, because we are what we need. We migrate. We create murals to absorb the trauma on the streets. Jazz pacifies our blues. We find beauty in the broken bricks built off bondage in this country. I honor your survival stories told in the struggle against systematic oppression. Bless your comfort. Revel in your rest. Although justice evades our streets, not current killings, kidnappings, or even old Katrinas can curb our resilience. We visit the dead. We pour up for the dead. We march for the dead. And every other day we live and we give life. Be encouraged by the cultures of our complexions, the beauty that we brandish, and the royal priesthood that we personify. We exude an untouchable, civilization-forming form of confidence. It cascades down our shoulders. We have God-given cultural crowns, crowns that enhance and strengthen us, and skin that inspires the shaping of societies. So thank you. Thank you, genuinely. Thank you for your love, your passion, your presence, resilience, care, and courage. Quilted, we gather, bonded by blood. We are here exchanging power, spirits unconfined, glowing, powerful, fiery, and free, endowed with the buoyancy of ancestral love. Like a tide, what we drop in here will wash away all confinement, all walls. Crayola can't catch or describe the power of our color, presence, and hues. So when you all leave this powerful space, when you return to the world, release your sighs. Know the power of your protest, crack what has been constructed. And most of all, take care. Never concede your presence. Be as bold as you are in here. The glory is within you, every single one of you. Thank you.
Give her one more round of applause. One more round of applause. When black lives are under attack, what do we do? When black lives are under attack, what do we do? When black lives are under attack, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Awesome, awesome. Thank